when you guys recorded Infinity on High, there was probably some added pressure because Corktree did so well, but Infinity didn't do quite the numbers that Corktree did. So did you feel an added pressure on this one then?
You know, we didn't really even feel the added pressure on Infinity, and I think like there's a lot of factors as to why Infinity didn't you know, do close to 3 million. It did like, you know, 1.5 million, closer to 2 maybe by now. I'm not really, I haven't checked the numbers lately, but because From Under the Corktree was really like, that was really the record that we felt like we had to prove ourselves as far as going from independent to a major label.
Right.
With Infinity, we didn't feel that pressure necessarily, and as far as like it not selling as well, I think partly that had to do with the turmoil within the music industry.
Right.
I think a lot of people's record sales were affected that way. And plus, it's definitely, you know, harder for a rock band to do well. I think it still was, we still very much succeeded with that record.
Yeah.
And we don't feel necessarily the pressure with this. We love the record. We're very proud of it. We think the songs are great. You know, some of the aspects as far as to how a record sells has to do with timing of singles and things like that. And, you know, we may have missed the boat on some of that with Infinity on High. And, you know, hopefully we won't do it this time around.
With the band's lives going in so many different directions, you know, Patrick is kind of spreading out a little bit more as a songwriter. Pete's off marrying Ashley Simpson and becoming a Hollywood star and whatever. Does it feel like it's harder to be a band, the band that you guys were when you started several years ago?
No, not really. I just think, like, within the band, we're still great friends, and we still love doing the band, and the band is the first priority for everybody. So even though, like, we all do things on the side, we're all able to focus our energy back on our main project on Fall Out Boy, and it's very important to us. And once we're back together and we're functioning as a band, it doesn't really feel that different. It just seems that way on the outside.
So the overall band vibe is still good, and you guys
It's good. It's probably better than it used to be, actually. Everyone's kind of grown up, and everyone has gone off and done things on the side, which I think have made us better people, and some of us have become better musicians from it, and some of us have just learned things that we can apply to the band.
The album is very dense production-wise, and the arrangements are quite dense and chaotic, which is kind of a Fall Out Boy trademark, really.
Yeah, there's a lot of, some of the songs are like 100 tracks of things, you know.
However, you do have one song called I Don't Care.
Yeah.
Which is a great riff, and the song is for a Fall Out Boy song, is very, very simple.
It's one of the more simplistic ones on the record, actually.
The riff, which is killer.
Thank you.
There's a slight tip of the hat to that old song, Spirit in the Sky.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing that, like, we keep getting, and the thing I think that people forget.
I'm not saying that in a bad way,
like,
either.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, we don't take it as any offense, you know what I mean? I think, like, that's way more of a tip of a hat to, like, John Lee Hooker. You know,
okay.
To, like, as it being a classic, it's a very classic blues riff, you know? Or even, you know, even if you want to get a little more contemporary, more of a tip of the hat to ZZ Top. I mean, like,
right.
So, I mean, we meant that riff in the most basic, in the most rudimentary of blues. But, I mean, obviously there's synths going on behind it, which I think, like, they give it a very different dynamic, you know? And it comes off a little more maybe glam that way.
A couple of years ago, you and I were talking, and you said that you felt like you intentionally held back your guitar playing on Fall Out Boy records. Again, on this record, it feels like you're holding back. I mean, truthfully, I wish I heard a little bit more guitar on a lot of these tracks. You know, how do you reconcile yourself with that?
I feel like there is more guitar stuff on this record. I feel like there's definitely more lead stuff, and I feel like there's kind of cooler, a little more intricate things and, you know, more complicated and different things that haven't been on Fall Out Boy records previously. I think sometimes you have to listen a little harder. I don't know. I think within the realm of Fall Out Boy, there isn't necessarily room guitar-wise sometimes to go totally off. There isn't. Every song doesn't have a devoted part for a guitar solo or, you know, an instrumental jam. I think, you know, a lot of what Fall Out Boy is so based around lyrics, it's based around vocals, so there has to be a lot of room for that. it's sometimes the guitars can fight with the vocals. So it's a hard dichotomy to it's just very hard to work on sometimes. You know, sometimes you have to forego the killer Queen guitar idea for the vocals.
There are a couple tracks though where you get a chance to open up. There's a song called "Unless You Guys Change the Titles," which you're famous for doing at the last minute. But the titles that I have, there's a song called 27.
Yeah, that one's got a lot of cool guitar stuff in
it. Yeah, and it's a harmonized solo too, right?
Yeah, it's I come in with the harmony halfway through, and then there's also at the end there's a very cool like kind of Queen arpeggiated build that goes along with that kind of drum fill, which I think is really cool. There's like a lot of little bursts of guitar stuff on this record. There's a song "Hurry" right on there that during the bridge there's like a really quick cool jazz lick in there.
Right.
There's just like little things that like, I mean, so in a way I did get to do some of that stuff, you know. I just didn't get to, you know, it's not like, I mean, there's bands that are very focused around the guitar. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, I was able to focus more around the guitar on this record, but it still isn't 100% what Fall Out Boy is about.
There's a song, which is the last song on the record, West Coast Smoker. You get to do some cool guitar solos.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, like, it's exciting for me, like, as far as, like, you're talking about, like, me wanting to do more guitar stuff, but having to hold back. It's cool because, like, I've learned to hold back, which is really good. I think it's good to put a leash on yourself and not to go too crazy, because I think, like, it can get boring to listen to somebody, like, shred at, like, 190 beats per minute for, like, you know, 8 minutes long. That can get a little too much, and, you know, it's good to simplify. It's good to hold back. The great thing is, like, because I've learned to hold back and because I've learned restraint, all the parts I came in with, some of the solo-esque stuff, some of the leads, they all really got used because I figured out how to use them appropriately.
You're pretty much a rock guy, a self-described metalhead.
Yeah, I suppose I am.
Are you cool with a lot of Patrick's R&B leanings that he is increasingly employing on this album? I mean, how does a metalhead guy get down with those tracks?
I think it's awesome. I think it that gives me an opportunity to spread my wings as a guitar player, and also, I mean, I love R&B and I love soul. I am a metalhead and I am a rock guy primarily, but I mean, I like to think I have a pretty wide array of musical tastes in general, and I love that stuff, and Patrick does it so well, and he makes great nods to other artists within the ideas he comes up with. Patrick will admit, like, even though there is a very large R&B and soul influence, there's a metal influence within Fall Out Boy as well, and I think, like, Andy and I are able to bring that to the band. Patrick Moore not just allows, but wants it there.
Well, there's always kind of a chugging kind of wall of sound bed of guitars under the tracks.
Absolutely.
Which to me is very reminiscent of hardcore bands like Quicksand.
Totally. Quicksand. Even, like, sometimes I think about Helmet.
Yeah.
It's a little more melodic than Helmet at times, but yeah, I always like to think about Helmet when that stuff comes in.
A few years ago, you told me that some of your heroes were Kirk Hammett, Dimebag, Kerry King. Are you still listening to those guys, or is there anybody?
Oh, absolutely. I think I neglected to mention some of the greats like Tony Iommi and Brian May. I think especially, like, I've been listening to so much Queen lately.
Oh.
Which, I've always loved Queen, but I've been listening a lot, and I think, like, I've wanted to try to kind of steal a couple Brian May ideas to use on this record. Hopefully I did, and did it appropriately without messing it up, you know, because it's a guy I respect a lot. But, yeah, I love, you know, I love Metallica, I love Slayer. So many guitar greats I love. I love, as far as, like, you know, all the ones that have been in great bands, I pretty much respect and love all of them, so.
Being that you are such a metalhead, lover of hard rock, do you ever see a day where you might do something a little different outside the band, form any kind of side project, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that day will definitely come at some point in time when, you know, Fall Out Boy is not on cycle, when all eyes aren't necessarily on Fall Out Boy at the moment. I wouldn't ever do that while we're on a record cycle. I would never, like, do that to myself and do that to the rest of my band, but there's things I am working on and have been working on for years with other people. You know, eventually I'll put it out there, eventually I'll release it, and hopefully people will like it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's basically it.
You guys have a very strong relationship with your fans. They're quite loyal. They've always been there for you. Have any fans gotten an advance preview of the new album? Have you been getting reactions?
We haven't had the chance to preview the album for anybody just because we literally, like, got master copies FedEx to us a day before we left for this European tour.
Oh, boy.
So we never even got a chance to, like, a listening party or anything. It's funny, like, because obviously I don't care. It's on iTunes.
Right.
And then we had First Slide into Cooperstown on a Bad Bet, which is such a mouthful, is on iTunes. I think, in general, you know, I like to read people's reviews, you know, their user reviews. I like to read what people say on websites like Absolute Punk on their message boards, on, you know, just different mediums for reading what people have to say. There's mixed reviews. I think overall pretty positive, and people like the direction we're going, but still I think a lot of people still see and hear Fall Out Boy within these new songs. I can't wait to hear what people say about the record as a whole. You know, I really am excited. I would love to play it for our fans.
So talk to me about the single you guys did a while ago, your cover of Beat It. That was fantastic.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, we just kind of, like, we were doing it live just for fun, and then when we were putting out the, when we were putting together the Live in Phoenix DVD, we decided kind of last minute to just record a version of it to kind of have as a little bonus material on the DVD. People seem to like it a lot, and we got John Mayer to do kind of his version of the Eddie Van Halen solo on there, which is cool.
Now, why didn't you do it? I remember on the last record there were a couple solos, and you had some of your friends do the guitar tracks. And on this one, you have John Mayer. Not that he's not a good guitar player, but you know, here's your moment.
I think, like, not really. I think, like, you know, I think I'm able to, you know, use, I'd rather, I like using our new record as my moment to show a little more versatility. I think at the time, at least none of us knew what he was going to do. And we thought, I think, like, at least I thought he was going to, like, straight up do the Van Halen solo.
Right.
Which I just can't play. That's a fucking hard solo to play. I've attempted it, and there's some very difficult tapping on there, and I wish I could, but I can't, and I'm sure there's plenty of guys out there playing 190 beats per minute who can do it, but but then John came out with this killer solo, his own thing, and it was cool. It's our way to do a collaboration with him, and he is known very well as a great guitar player, so it's cool to have him do it. I mean, if there was nobody, you know, if that option wasn't there, I totally would have done my own version of it. Or, you know, I mean, like, me or Patrick could have switched off and done it. No, I mean, it just worked out that way. I think it's cool. I like it.
What guitars did you play on the new record? You have your Washburn signature model, right?
Yes. I used that a couple times in the new record. We used, I have this great Washburn custom shop Pilsen that just, it rips, and we've used that. We used that on Infinity as well as this record. You know, we used some Les Pauls, SGs at P90s, and with, you know, humbuckers. Even use like a Rickenbacker or a Rickenbacker 12 string on one song for like a moment, for like a really small part. We had it in the studio and we were like waiting to use it for something. And then I had this like one kind of like little guitar riff, and then we tried it on the 12 string and it just worked. Like really like very standard guitars, you know.
Which guitars are you going to be playing mostly on tour?
Probably my signature model primarily.
Okay.
And we actually, you know what? You know, there's a couple cool guitars I brought out that we used.
What's that?
78 gold top with mini buckers in it.
Oh,
that
nice.
We used.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool. And then we actually ended up not using this guitar, but we tried a bunch and we just couldn't get it to like work for anything. I have this like prototype of a Guild Brian May.
Oh wow.
They're like, yeah, I want to use it real bad. It just ended up not really working for anything.
Why didn't it work?
It didn't work for anything specifically. We had this like for a lot of like leads, like honestly, Les Pauls, or even like we had an Explorer that we had, kind of turned out better for a lot of that stuff, just tone wise with the amps that we had.
I would think for that one song called 27,
it would have been good for that.
Yeah,
you know, it's there's something missing about that guitar, unfortunately. I think I thought it sounded fine in my bedroom, but maybe, you know, just didn't really work. We tried it. We just really couldn't get it to do what we wanted it to do.
Well, you know what the trick is.
The Vox. Turn up the, just crank the Vox.
That, and you have to play it with an English sixpence.
Oh, yeah. I wish I could do that.
See? That's
that is the trick. That's the trick that nobody can do.
That's what you got to do. Well, Joe, thank you very much for speaking with me. It's been great.
No, thanks for talking to me, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. This is Joe Basso with Music Radar, the place for music makers, and I've been speaking with Joe Troman, guitarist with the band Fallout Boy. Much success on the road there.
Thank you.
And we will talk to you soon.
Absolutely, man.
All right, you take care.
All right, you too.